Welcome to Park Street Brethren Church. We're grateful that you're joining us this morning to worship the Lord in a new year, to discover His mercies afresh this morning. We have had children indoors for the last several days because it's been cold, and the result of which has been some pretty testy human beings living in the Bebout household. Rosie was having a hard day the other day, and she was kind of having a fit. And my wife, because she's a lovely Christ-following woman, said, "Rosie, I think we need to pray to Jesus about your attitude." To which my daughter screamed at her mother, "You pray to your own Jesus!" Pastor's kids, what are you going to do? There's a scene from a movie called Kung Fu Panda. This is the movies I watch these days. And there's these different animals that practice Kung Fu. There's five of them, and they go to fight a person on a rope bridge. The rope bridge is cut, and four of the five animals jump out to fight this other character on the rope bridge, leaving one animal to hold the bridge. And the one that they chose to hold the rope bridge was a praying mantis, just a tiny little bug. And as soon as they all jump out on the rope bridge, he says, "What was I thinking?" And I think that that's actually not a bad analogy sometimes when we think about the new year. So many of us are holding on to so much, right? And maybe you don't have three children, 3 years old and younger, in your house, but I know you've got something that you feel like you're barely holding on, you know, that life circumstances have gotten to, the momentum of them have taken you in places that you didn't think you would go. Maybe it's your relationship with your spouse. Maybe it's some debt you've incurred. Maybe it's other relationships or challenges at work. Whatever it is, I know that sometimes it's hard to hang on. Sometimes life gets heavy and we feel like, what am I doing? I think in the midst of those times of intensity and crisis, it's good for us to be reminded that we are part of a bigger story, a larger narrative, that we're not simply isolated and alone in our circumstance, but rather that we are a part of a larger thing that God is doing. And in part, that's what some of this series is about. We're going to be looking through the entire Bible over the next 12 weeks in a series we're calling The Whole Story. And the idea of The Whole Story is to take all those seemingly disconnected parts of Scripture and to show through God's wisdom and His grace that it's all part of one large story, all part of one large narrative of God restoring a world He created in love. And so we challenged you last week not to miss a Sunday these next 12 weeks because otherwise you're going to be completely left clueless in the dark. You're going to have no idea how to put the pieces together. We've challenged our church to kind of become all in 2018 and to do a variety of things, to take seriously the invitation of the gospel. One of those ways is simply by coming every week and worshiping the Lord, communing with one another, and diving into His Word. So with that, let's do just that. We're going to be in Genesis chapter 1, as this week is called Beginning. Genesis 1, we're going to be in verses 26 through 31. This is the Word of God for the people of God this morning. "Then God said, 'Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over livestock and all the wild animals, and all over all the creatures that move along the ground.' So God created mankind in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. God blessed them and said to them, 'Be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds in the sky and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And so it was. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Let's pray together again this morning. Jesus, Lord of all creation, we come to you this morning, knowing that even though the ground is frozen solid, the spring will eventually come again and the green will burst forth. We pray that this morning that you would begin to open our eyes and our imagination to how good you are and how faithful you are and how all life flows from you. We love you this morning, Lord. Help us as we focus our hearts and our spirits on you and your story this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name, and God's people said, amen. Have you ever walked into the middle of a conversation and it becomes immediately apparent to you that you need more context as to what they are talking about? You just like walk up and your two friends are sitting there talking and one of them says, and that's why I will never step foot in another Kmart or own a pair of breeding hamsters ever again. And you're like, that is the weirdest sentence I've ever heard coming out of a human's mouth. And so there's more going on here. You have to catch up. Maybe you have a friend who often interrupts you because they don't know the context. I have a friend like that who I'll be talking with somebody else and they'll come up and they're like, what you talking about? I'm like, I was just telling him about this time I went to the store. Why'd you go to the store? We ran out of bread at my house. Well, what are you going to use the bread for? And it's like, what, you know, you missed it. It's too late for you. I'm not retracing everything for you. Or you have another friend who maybe you ask them a simple question and they give you like a 30-year recap to catch you up to this point. You ever done that before? You're like, oh, did you go see the new Star Wars movie? When my father was a senior in high school, the original Star Wars, I don't care. Just, I wanted a yes or no answer to that question. This is all part and parcel to being humans because being a human means that we're wired for story and we need context to understand what's happening around us. So context is wildly important. We can't make sense of the world without understanding the story that precedes this moment, the context in which we find ourselves in. And so there are two really fundamental questions that have kind of haunted humanity since the first human breathed life on this earth. And those two fundamental questions are, why does stuff exist? Why does the universe exist? And what's my place in it? These are two questions, are existential in nature, but it's also essential to what it means to being a human because human beings need to understand context. They need to understand story and the narrative in which we find ourselves in. Why does stuff exist instead of nothing? Why am I here? How do I fit into all of this? A lot of interesting answers to those two really important questions. And in our day and age of science, we're understanding that those two questions are maybe bigger than we would have thought even 100 years ago, 200 years ago. In the fall of 2003, the people in charge of the Hubble telescope, I don't know who those people are, they pointed it at a little square of black sky, a tiny little window in which they could see no stars. If you look outside and see the moon in the sky, the patch, the little square that they pointed the Hubble telescope at was 1/79th the size of the moon. Very small little window. And any good photographer, we've got several at Park Street, will tell you that if you want more light to get into a picture, you just leave the lens open longer, right? So a low light setting, open the lens a little longer. The Hubble telescope opened its lens in September of 2003 and closed it in January of 2004 on that little black piece of nothing, just to see what they could see. And this is the image that they saw in that little black speck of nothing. Those are galaxies, just so you know. This is called the Hubble Ultra Deep Field Picture. And in that little window, they captured about 10,000 galaxies that they had never seen before. No human had ever seen before. They were lost in the depth of space. Our human eyes are way too weak to see this light. It's so far away. Each one of these galaxies contains 100 billion stars, give or take one or two, probably. And these 10,000 galaxies that we discovered through this photo, we just add them to the list of the 2 trillion galaxies we believe exist in the known universe, each of which containing 100 billion stars like our own. So that first question, why does the universe exist? Your answer needs to be pretty big, whatever it is. Because the more we understand about space and space-time, and the more that we and scientists and physicists are looking at things, the more we realize that this is no small universe that we happen to live in. It's vast beyond human understanding. So here are the leading theories from science and the world on why does the universe exist, right? Take faith out of it. Take God out of it. You're a pure scientist here trying to understand why something exists instead of nothing. The leading theory right now, held among a lot of scientists and physicists, is that this universe is just one of many universes. It's called the multiverse theory. And so why does life exist on Earth in our universe? So the answer is, according to this theory, in this universe, there are the right conditions for life. And that's it. Now, if you're thinking, that doesn't really do anything for me, that's good. You know, the question of where this universe, where did it come from, for me, is not answered in saying there's multiple other universes, because then that begs the question, where did those universes come from, right? But that's a leading theory. There's another theory. I'm putting on it a philosophical term, but it's just a collection of other perspectives that I'm calling absurdism theory. And that's like, there is no meaning. We're like Sisyphus pushing a boulder up a hill for all eternity. There's no reason that we just do. It's a brute fact. There's nothing beyond that. Quit trying to get your head around it. Just enjoy the absurdity of your existence. So that's encouraging. The next one, which is less popular than the other two, but still held in some philosophical circles, is something called solipsism, which is another collection of different beliefs of some version of, well, the universe really doesn't exist at all. It's some kind of projection of your mind or some kind of a trick through a computer program, the consciousness that you think is not really. This is like, you thought you were going to do the Bible. This is just philosophy 101. Isn't this exciting for all of us? 3 wonderful bedtime stories for children, I think. So those feel like they're leaving you wanting. Let's go to the next 3 on question number 2. What's my place in this? What gives life meaning? Hedonism is probably the world's first and foremost answer. A lot of people don't think they're hedonists because they think of hedonism, they think of debauchery and wild, crazy, you know, doing drugs and illegal things. Hedonism is simply a philosophy and approach of life that says, I want to maximize enjoyment and minimize pain. That's all it is. And when push comes to shove, there are a lot of human beings who run by that principle, right? My goal in life is just to enjoy, to be in awe, to be in wonder. Just have fun. You can't tell because it's a stick person, but that person is actually streaking. They're just really living it up. The next theory is humanism. What gives life meaning? Well, just the advancement of the species. Just some kind of a, let's try to help the human race progress. And with that comes all sorts of, right, like subjective moral codes. But the idea is, as long as the species is going forward, that's what life is all about. And then the last one is nihilism, which is another not good one, because this one is like, there is no meaning. There is no purpose. There's just like an empty, vacant void in your heart, and then you die. Right? And again, these different perspectives, it might seem like, you know, I'm making them to be more simple or silly than they really are, but in actuality, a lot of people believe in one or more of these versions of this. This is what life is. So no wonder so many people in our world today feel so isolated and depressed and like they're barely holding on and that life is overwhelming because human beings are wired for story. We're wired for context. And these different perspectives, they're not incredibly encouraging or uplifting or hopeful. And this is why I continue to fall in love with Scripture all over again. Every time I quiet myself and I put myself in the presence of God's Word, because the Bible is the most compelling story that's ever been authored. Right? It's amazing in its intricacy, but in its accessibility. It's amazing. And here's the other thing. It gives the context that we desperately need to live meaningful and joyful lives. And so, again, in part, what we're trying to do with this series is to fall in love with Scripture and the beauty of the Word of God and how it answers these big questions in a way that's not only compelling and beautiful, but in a way that invites our participation and our marvel at the goodness of God. When I talk about Scripture and how it's telling all one big story, sometimes, you know, in conversation with others, they'll say, well, it doesn't seem like one big story. It seems like a bunch of random stuff smushed together. And I'm like, yeah, but you have to study it, you know, you have to put yourself in the Word, and once you do it, over time, you start seeing all the connections, you start seeing the beauty, to which some of my friends respond, yeah, why is it so confusing? Why didn't God make it more simple? If there was a story he wanted us to know, why didn't he just tell us that? And my response to that is simple, is have you ever considered anything precious in your entire life that wasn't difficult or challenging at all? No. Things that come free and easy also happen to be not terribly meaningful for humans. That we find beauty in the struggle, in the yearning, in the testing, in the crying out. That's what faith is all about. And so, Genesis 1, right? God speaks creation into existence. He does so in the succession of days. creating different things in different orders, culminating in our passage today on the creation of mankind. And we are day six of a six-day work week, right? Saving the best to last, people. And the three things that I want us to get out of this morning are truths that I believe we see from Genesis 1:26 onward. And then the first is, human beings were made in the image of God to display the glory of God to the ends of the earth. You are more than highly evolved stardust. You were created with intention, skill, and purpose. You are a mixture of loam and love, of earth and spirit, of the clay of creation and the breath of God. Human beings were designed, birthed, placed here for a reason. I was in a small group last week, and we have a group that spans generations, and one of our younger unmarried friends in the group said, "How did having kids change your perspective of God?" And some different of us answered, and my answer was, having kids changed my life because I realized you give love that's not earned when you have kids. Like, especially when they're just first born, they don't do anything other than stuff that you would rather them not do, right? That literally, that's all they do is, I would rather you not do that. They're screaming, they're crying, they're fussy, they're messing themselves. The times you like best are when they're unconscious, right? And you can snuggle them, and they're just not doing anything except breathing, right? And yet, you love this little thing more than yourself, more than anything else in the world. And it's just automatic. Being created in the image of God for the glory of God means that you don't have to do anything to earn his love. It's so freely given, even when you're doing things he'd rather you not do. You were created, conceived, birthed in love. Here's the second thing that we learn from Genesis 1:26 through 31. From the moment humanity was created, God has given us both an identity and a mission, right? Identity, image bearers of God. Mission, be fruitful and multiply, right? And all of the young families at Park Street Brethren Church said, check, right? Be fruitful and multiply is the first command, because as image bearers, God wants us to spread his image, his glory, to the ends of the earth. He likes families, but the purpose of being fruitful and multiplying is so that we can have more witnesses to the kingdom of God in every place, in every nook and cranny of this planet. That's the start of your story. In a world that wants to argue, everything is an accident, you know, life just kind of sort of magically came about. There's a different story, there's a different narrative, there's a different context for those who are found in Christ Jesus that we find ourselves in. Now, here's the reality. This is the first part of the story, and we know that it doesn't stay this good and tender and sweet and green for very long. And for us, that's true as well, right? We don't last too long without getting in our own way, completely rebelling against the good plans God had for us, saying yes to our own selfishness instead of the will of God. Yet, that's not where the story ends, right? And so I'm going to jump ahead a little bit, but we'll get there eventually. And I wanted to say this morning, even though it's not in chapter 1,
because it is the beginning of a new year. And there are a lot of us who feel like we've been barely holding on, and we've been overwhelmed, and we've been floating through life, feeling completely powerless. And this is the truth of Scripture. For those who are in Christ, Scripture tells us that we are a new creation, and that the old things that used to define us are gone. Right? That comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In Jesus, we get a new start. We get to go back to the beginning. We get a fresh opportunity to live and to love and to serve and to come back into alignment with what we were always intended to be. So as we progress over the next few weeks, we'll talk about how the large story of God's perfect creation goes awry, and then how he spends time trying to woo us back to himself, and how he eventually accomplishes that mission in the person, in the life, and the ministry of Jesus Christ. We're going to talk about all of that. I'm excited to talk about it. But this is what I want to end today on. It's a new year. And we have once more, because of the person of Jesus, an opportunity to start all over. 2016 was the year your favorite celebrity died, right? 2017 was the year your other favorite celebrity was accused of sexual misconduct, right? 2018, what if that's the year you became the person you were always meant to be? What if this is the year that you experience a breakthrough in a way you've never experienced before, a connection with God, an obedience to his will and his word that you've never done before, and that you can answer those two questions that have plagued all of mankind for all of mankind's existence with confidence? Why does the universe exist? Because God created it, and what's my part in it? He's revealing that to me day by day as I follow in the footsteps of Jesus. My prayer as we go through this series is that as we continue to look at this large picture, each and every week we would have a recognition of what that means for me and my small part of the story. I think today the small part of the story that is for you is the recognition that you were created in the image of God, cherished, beloved, and that through Christ Jesus we have an opportunity to reclaim that which was lost through our own brokenness and sin. My prayer is that we would come back to who we were meant to be in 2018 because of the blood and the power of Jesus. Let's pray together this morning. Lord, we give you praise this morning, gratitude, thanksgiving, for creating this beautiful and strange and wonderful world and all the other beautiful and strange and wonderful worlds we'll never visit. But on this place, at this time, we need reminded of where we come from so that we can see where we're going. Rather than somebody who's coming in the middle of a story, remind us how this all got started in the first place, out of love, out of truth, out of light, out of your presence. We pray this morning, Jesus, that you would give us grace upon grace to say yes to this story, to step into the narrative, and to do our part as we follow you. Thank you, Jesus, for this invitation. Thank you for this new year. Thank you for a new start that we have in the Holy Spirit. We pray all this in Jesus' name, and God's people said, amen.